This is the word of the Lord. May God bless this reading of the Holy Word. Well, the sermon title today is Impelled by the Holy Spirit. Impelled by the Holy Spirit. Please pray with me. God of wisdom, may my words be faithful to the written word, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, bring us all closer to the living word, Christ Jesus, in his name. Amen. Well, the gospel lection today might be giving some of you that deja vu feeling. We had verses 9 through 11 on January the 6th when we celebrated the baptism of the Lord. Then we had verses 14 and 15 of recently as January the 21st when we discussed Jesus calling his first disciples. So this leaves only two verses for today, 12 and 13. So your feeling of deja vu may be being given over to a sense of optimism. How long can it take to address two verses? Well, that's what I thought when I initially read this text. But the Gospel of Mark can pack a lot into a little. So what does this text then mean for us walking with Christ through the wilderness this Lenten season in preparation for Good Friday and Easter Sunday? Well, as for context, this text, of course, lays out the process by which Jesus began his ministry. The first three verses describe Jesus' baptism, which, of course, is official commissioning to ministry. And the final two verses tell us of the circumstances in which Jesus began his ministry and also describes what his ministry comprised of. Let's just read that again, verse 14. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. So the middle two verses connect Jesus' official commissioning with the beginning of his ministry. And of course, those two verses we'll address today. So let's just read those two verses again. Verse 12. And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tested by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Well, if these two verses alone do not already make it clear, the positioning between the commissioning and the beginning of Jesus' ministry indicate that the testing of Jesus was certainly necessary for him to begin his ministry. Well, how do we know it was important? Well, one good indicator is that this period in the wilderness is in all three of the synoptic gospels. The Matthew and Luke accounts contain a lot more of the details than Mark's characteristic brevity. But it's tempting to fill in the gaps by what it says in Matthew and Luke. But if we just focus on these few details that Mark provides, we'll find something not found in the other two accounts. Well, this is a good time to share a Bible study tip. Whenever you read a specific text, it's a good practice to read it through several times and then go back to the beginning and just simply underline, preferably not in the Pew Bible, but underline anything that stands out from your reading, particularly the verbs, anything that just seems strange or just stands out to you. And if you were to do that in this case, one verb that really stands out, at least to me, is how the Spirit drove him out. So then, having underlined that word, the first thing you want to find out is, well, what was that original word in Greek? You don't have to speak Greek, just what was the original word? And typically, how else is that often translated? Well, in this case, that word is ekbalo, and it means to drive out, to force to go away, or to go out. So that's a good translation. And it's different than the corresponding word in Matthew and Luke's account. But that word is used throughout the Gospel of Mark in a context of driving out demons. So in all the exorcisms that Jesus does, that's the word that's used. So it's almost like Jesus is possessed by the Holy Spirit. So it's interesting how Jesus was immediately influenced by the Holy Spirit after his baptism. The word immediately there in the text connects the two. Well, for me, the more traditional New American Standard Bible uses a word that I think communicates the essence of what's going on here. And I quote, "The Spirit impelled him." The Spirit impelled him to go out into the wilderness, and hence that's where the sermon title came from. And we'll come back to that word in a minute. But there's some other things to point out in this text too. The term wilderness, or eremos, refers to a desolate, uninhabited place. Maybe that's where Ashton's camping today. But it's the same word that describes the wilderness where John first appeared, where Jesus was baptized, of course, where Jesus then went further into to spend 40 days. And throughout the gospel, all of the gospels, Jesus continues to spend time in the eremos, that physical wilderness. And I mentioned umpteen times before how important that role of the physical wilderness has been in Jesus' ministry, and to us too as disciples. And then 40 days is often used in the connection with an intense spiritual experience in Scripture. You've got 40 days that Moses was on Mount Sinai in Exodus 24. Elijah was in the desert there in 1 Kings 19. 40 days may also allude to the 40 years wandering in the wilderness being tested, Israel in the wilderness there. And then the inclusion of the wild beasts is the only descriptor that Mark adds here that kind of communicates the understanding to us of the fierce nature of this experience. Some argue that at the time of writing that Nero was having Christians torn apart by wild animals. Then again, there's also perhaps an allusion here to Psalm 91, which I'll read, verse 11. "For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot." So Jesus' time in the wilderness was clearly not a spiritual retreat, but it was a real liminal experience, a necessary experience to prepare him for his ministry. So as always, what are things from this text that we can apply to our lives? A particular time now as we are walking in the wilderness with Christ. Well, here were three points that stood out to me. The first is that Jesus still needed preparation. Jesus still needed preparation. And this is kind of mind-blowing if you think about it. Well, Jesus was around 30 years old at this time. And we know from Luke's gospel that when Jesus was only 12, on the verge of becoming a man at 13, and he was accidentally left behind in Jerusalem, and his parents found him in the temple, by then he was already amazing some of the best scholars that were alive at the time by his understanding of the scriptures and the questions that he was asking them. And we know that Jesus didn't stop learning there. The second chapter of Luke ends with, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor." So he spent the rest of his childhood and his adulthood studying the scriptures. One can imagine. We also know that Jesus was invited to teach in the synagogues. People called him rabbis. And this is comes from a lifetime of studying the scriptures. Yet, to begin his ministry, he needed this intense 40-day wilderness experience. This testing, of course, was to confirm that he was ready, but I believe that it was also part of the ultimate preparation, the final preparation, perhaps. Well, how did the wilderness experience prepare him? Well, we know from Matthew the Matthew and Luke accounts how Jesus withstood temptation from Satan. And if you keep this generally, the three things that he withstood was, first was to use his power and his status to fill his own needs. You know, he was offered the opportunity to turn stones into bread, but he refused. So to take that a little bit further, that's always material needs, always physical needs. He could have used his power to do that, but he didn't. The second was He could have used his power to gain popularity. If he'd have thrown himself off the pinnacle of the temple and landed unhurt, then he would have been the most popular person in the world at that time. But he did not do that. How many times does Jesus say, don't tell anybody, the so-called messianic secret? And the third time was giving in to evil to gain political status, to be the ruler of the earth. He could have done that too, but he did not. So these three temptations to me are amazing when you think about it. How many churches today are either following one or all three of those false means of ministry to appeal to people's material needs, to appeal to popularity and appeal to political power and status? In our culture, you know, it's no longer enough to be competent. You have to be popular. And the person with the greatest number of followers, the most popular, is often the one that people seek out. But Jesus did the very opposite. So do you think, oh, by the way, every time Jesus resisted a temptation, he did so by quoting scripture and then living out that scripture in his decision. Well, do you think there's a connection between Jesus' experience in the wilderness and his ability to proclaim the reign of God? I'd say so. The second point here, as I mentioned, is Jesus was impelled by the Holy Spirit. Impelled by the Holy Spirit. And I'm using a word there from the New American Standard Bible. The Holy Spirit immediately drove Jesus out into the wilderness. In Mark's Gospel, we get that vivid picture of the role of the Holy Spirit in the preparation process and commissioning for ministry. In Matthew and Luke's version, the word, there's a different word completely, means led. Seems a little bit more passive, perhaps. But the word choice here is critical. So what does impel mean? What does impel mean? Well, it'll help us if we consider the word impel and the word compel together. So compel means to constrain someone in some way, or to yield, or to do what one wishes. So impel, on the other hand, means to provide a strong force, a motive or an incentive towards a certain end. In other words, compel is an external factor. It's almost like a beyond our individual control. It's almost like a being coerced, where impel is more intrinsic, and therefore it lies within our control to agree to be impelled, if that makes sense. So Jesus therefore willingly submitted to this process, despite all the emotions and the angst he must have felt. Jesus was impelled but not compelled by the Holy Spirit. God will never coerce anyone. The Holy Spirit may impel you, but you must respond. You must respond. So where do you see the action of the Spirit working in your life right now? Where might the Holy Spirit be impelling you at this time? And the third point that stood out to me from this text was that we need our time in the wilderness. We need our time in the wilderness. As Jesus described the disciples, called to follow him, it stands to reason that some form of wilderness preparation is necessary for us. Now, I don't know about you, but if I went out in the wilderness for 40 days, I probably wouldn't be coming back. And if by some miracle I made it back, I know Julie would probably throw me out of the house. But, I'm a proponent of the wilderness as a place of ministry, a place of liminality, a place of discipleship. This text is more general in nature. I think the general idea here is that we develop spiritually through those times in our life when we learn to trust God, when we make decisions and take actions based on God's word. Now, I don't play golf, but I'm going to use a golf analogy, and my apologies to anybody who does play golf. But imagine if I was passionate about the game of golf, that I learned the history of the game, I learned the rules, I learned all the terminology, I became a member of a local golf club, and I spent my time listening to all the pros talking. I even attended golf seminars, I'm sure they have them. I read all the latest books, and I bought even the most expensive set of golf clubs. Back in the day, they used to be Ping. God, I'm not sure what they are today, but how good of a golf player would I really be if I never actually swung a club? How good of a golf player would I really be if I never actually played the game itself? So discipleship is an action sport. Faith is cultivated over time. As disciples, how do we know that we have faith if we never have the opportunity to apply it, if it is never really tested? So does this gospel text lead you to see how the Holy Spirit might be challenging you in your life? How might this season of Lent be a time for you to embrace the Holy Spirit, who might be testing you, so that you too can more boldly proclaim the kingdom of God? Well, in conclusion, many Christians would point to Easter as being the most important season in the liturgical calendar. Well, in my opinion, I suggest Lent is perhaps the most important season of all, because how you spend your Lent determines what kind of Easter you will experience. How you spend your Lent determines what kind of Easter you will experience. Again, in the words used in our Ash Wednesday service, I invite you, therefore, in the name of Christ, to observe a holy Lent by self-examination and penitence, by prayer and fasting, by works of love, by meditating on God's word. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.